Well, good morning again to all of you. When I was preparing for my sermon and my Bible, the title heading above today's scripture says, "Do everything without grumbling." Now, there is no doubt that we have all been a grumpy Gus from time to time, and maybe some more than others. Especially on a cold, dreary day like today, it's kind of hard to be cheerful, isn't it? But I know one thing is for sure, that as my dad got older, it seemed the grumpier he got. Well, I'm not sure he was grumpier. Maybe he had just lost his filter and wasn't afraid to say what was really on his mind. There were times he was as grumpy and as ornery as these two guys from the 1993 classic, Grumpy Old Men. And if you have not seen that movie, you need to. You know, for the most part, we have a wonderful and loving congregation. And I don't know about you, but I really miss passing of the peace, don't you? When we used to go around and remember those days seemed so long ago when we used to hug and shake hands and smile and love on each other? But even though we had such great times of sharing our love, there have been moments of conflict. There have been moments when some have not held back from expressing their feelings. But again, these moments have been minimal. And for the most part, we have held together rather well during this time of COVID. But we do have many things to consider over the next year that may present further conflict. One of these items we will have to address in the fall of 2021 is what might happen to Zion as a result of the pending split to our denomination. But as important as that vote is by the greater United Methodist Church, I feel that we have even something bigger to consider. You see, I really feel that we at Zion are at a crossroads, at a point where we have to decide if we are going to be daring and take bigger steps towards mission and growth, or are we going to settle for the status quo and remain inwardly focused? I honestly believe that we need to grow as a church through personal devotion, developing small groups for spiritual development. I believe we need to deepen the spiritual development so that we can be effective in our witness and our missions. And I believe that if we come together and get serious about it, that we will see the fruits of growth in this church. And I've been saying it since my first Sunday here, but I know God has something great for this congregation. His blessing is waiting for us. And all we have to do is claim it. And as we move along and push forward to being the kind of church God made us to be, we will have some trials and errors. We will have some successes and some failures. And with it, we may even have some grumbling or arguing. However, in the end, it will be our love that holds us together as a local congregation. And it'll be our love that will take us forward. So I want us to start with today's scripture and see what Paul is telling us today through the church in Philippians. In verse 12, he says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose." Now, the first part seems pretty straightforward. Paul was stating that the Philippians have done a great job adhering to his teachings, not only while Paul was with them, but also when Paul had left them. They continued in that teaching. But now it's even more important for them to make that deliberate effort to continue in his absence, to continue to obey what he has taught them. But the middle and last section can be a little troubling if read incorrectly. The middle spot says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And we have to ask ourselves, what is Paul talking about here? Is Paul telling us that we need to work for our salvation? Do we need to fear that we may fail? When we look at this passage in context with Paul's other teachings, we can be assured that salvation is by grace and not by works. He tells us in Ephesians that, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We cannot earn salvation. Paul was very clear about this. God's grace is offered to all. It is not earned. So when we relook at what was written in the Philippians, when he says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling," a better way to say this would be, as you take on the task of living out your commitment to Christ, take this gift of salvation very seriously. And the second part of the verse says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose." Now, depending on how you read this, it may sound like that our actions are involuntary, that God's doing all the work. But it's not true. We have a choice to obey God's will. This part of the verse would be better stated as, "And allow God to work through you according to his will to advance the gospel." So when we put it all together, it might read better as you take on the task of living out your commitment to Christ, take this gift of salvation very seriously and allow God to work through you according to his will to advance the gospel. Salvation is a gift, but it is a gift we need to take seriously. And because we have this gift of grace, we should have an overwhelming commitment to share this gift with others. And as we come together as God's church, we may run into a few problems. Because like I tell a lot of other people, church would be easy if it wasn't for people. It's a lot funnier among pastors. But Paul warns us this in Philippians in verse 14. He says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation." That almost sounds like he was talking to us today, doesn't it? But you see, in this scripture, Paul is actually taking the Philippians all the way back to the story of Exodus. Now, in Philippi, it was most likely a non-Jewish, a Gentile congregation. But most scholars believe that there were a group of Jewish converts inside the church. And they did have the Greek version of the Old Testament. And so the story of the Exodus would have been very familiar to this audience. And if you were listening to our Old Testament readings, you just heard one of several passages in regards to the grumbling, the complaining, and the arguing among the Israelites. We have to remember that an estimated 1 to 3 million people escaped from Egypt. This wasn't a small exodus. This was huge. These people escaped from Egypt and journeyed into the wilderness. And just 2 months in, they were complaining and groaning for food. So God sent them manna every morning and quail and every evening. Then they moaned about the water supply, and God opened up the rocks, and the springs just gushed out with water for them to drink. And as our scripture read in the book of Numbers, some of the people wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. They wanted to elect new leaders and head back to Egypt. And Moses has this to say to them in Deuteronomy. He says, "He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just as he. They are corrupt and not his children. To their shame, they are a warped and crooked generation." Paul is saying, don't be like those Israelites. Don't be the people who are quick to forget the great works of God. These were the people who knew and saw the plagues God sent onto Egypt. These were the people that walked through the parted waters of the Red Sea. They knew that it was God's miracles that brought them daily manna and quail. And instead of having faith that God would continue to lead them out of their current circumstances, they got impatient, they started to grumble and argue with each other, and they lost faith in their leaders. And Paul, in this passage, warns the Philippians, don't be the people that turn their back on God at the first sign of struggle. Don't get caught up in grumbling and arguing. Because you see, at the beginning of this passage, he said, hey, things are going great for you, right? You're sticking to what I taught you. But here's the warning. It's going to get tougher. There's going to be problems. Don't get caught up in grumbling and arguing in these times. Don't forget where you're at now. Don't forget all the great things that God is doing in your life. And now if we take a step back and look at our country's political climate, there is certainly more grumbling and arguing than most of us care for. We see the nastiness on both sides. And I don't know about you, but as I said every week, I'm tired of watching it. But if we also step back and look at the universal church, we certainly have our share of grumblers and people ready to argue, don't we? And I'm not just talking about the differences between Protestants and Catholics or the differences between Pentecostals, Baptists, and Methodists. There is a serious divide within the United Methodist Church. You see, the church in America, especially our United Methodist Church, has lost its way. So many people are caught up in our differences and have lost sight of the fact that we have a mission to advance the gospel. And this mission is hard to do when the world sees Christians complaining and arguing. You see, we have an opportunity as a congregation to move beyond that. We, as a local congregation, can change the way people see churches and the way people see Christians. You see, our life and the way we act validates our faith. Let me say that again. Our life and the way we act validates our faith. And we could also say it may invalidate our faith. The world is watching us. And we can either be a jumbled mess that makes no sense, or we can be this that Paul wrote to the Philippians. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Since the time of creation, the stars have directed man. They have helped tell the seasons and the years. And we know that for a long time, stars were used for navigation, for direction. You see, we are not to be intermittent lights of hope. We can be the light of hope for people in all seasons of their life. And we can be the light that continually directs people to salvation through Jesus Christ. If we live out the teachings of Jesus, if we stick to having the mindset of Jesus, if we live by Paul's example, if we hold strong to the teaching of the apostles, if we come together in unity for the purpose of advancing the gospel, then we will become shining lights to a dark world. And as we turn our focus back to what we have here is, yes, we have largely a tight and loving congregation. And we need to be careful and watch for seeds of disunity. These seeds may be small, but they could easily take root and divide us in a hurry. So as Paul warned his people, we need to take that warning serious, to be careful when we grumble and how we grumble. Oh, it's okay to have differences and opinions, and we should have healthy discussions. Healthy discussions. But we need to be careful that we do not get caught up in gossip, backbiting, or other unhealthy actions. And when we think about it, most arguments occur because we argue about things that we want and we lose sight of what God wants. Selfish desires defeat the spread of the gospel. And I hope that's something you understand. Selfish desires defeat the spread of the gospel. We need to be focused on what great things God has done for us in the past and look forward to where God will take us if we are obedient and follow Him. Let us as a congregation continue to use God's word as our guide. Let us continue to prayerfully seek and do God's will. And let us surrender and allow Him to work through us to be a light to a lost world and therefore advance the gospel. Our life and the way we act validates our faith. Let us shine among our community like stars in the sky as we hold firmly to the word of life. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you have laid before us the very foundation through your word, through the teachings of your apostles, and through many traditions that have been passed on from generation to generation to generation. We hold fast to the sacrament of baptism. Lord, we hold fast to the sacrament of your Holy Communion. And Lord, with those as our foundation and with the building blocks of all that you have done for us in the past, the building blocks that have been here at this church, the wonderful and amazing things that have been done within these walls and outside of these walls, we have many saints who have gone before us that have led this church through many periods. And Lord, we ask that you lead us and guide us to build more blocks, to add more to your church, to go out and make disciples of this world. Lord, build on what we have together that is so precious. Lord, take our love for each other and let us turn it outwardly to the people outside of this church, to our communities and beyond. Lord, let our love shine so that this dark world may see that there is another way, a better way, to live, to have joy, and to have peace no matter what happens with the rest of the world. Let us cling to the eternal promises that you have given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and allow us to always see your hand of mercy, grace, and blessing on our lives. All of this we ask and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you take on this task of living out your commitment to Christ, take the gift of salvation very seriously. Allow God to work through you according to His will to advance the gospel. May we show and shine like the stars in a dark world. Let us go and let people know us by our love. Go in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.